Welcome to the IHSAA Insider as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of girls basketball at the Indiana High School Athletic Association. My name is Jane Schott, Assistant Commissioner in charge of girls basketball. We are talking with players, coaches, and officials who have impacted the evolution of the game in our state. As we've always heard, in 49 other states, it's just basketball. But this is Indiana High School girls basketball. Sit back and enjoy reminiscing with the legends of Indiana. Welcome to another edition of the 50th anniversary podcast for the girls basketball state finals. 1976 was our first ever state finals, and we are thrilled to be joined by Melissa and Melinda Miles today because they were in that state championship game playing for Bloomfield. 1977 graduates who were the runners-up in the first ever state championship game. So we're excited to hear their story and where they took their basketball careers beyond high school and where they are today. So Melissa and Melinda, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Jane.
Let's just set the stage. Tell us your story a little bit. And then I'm sure both of you, you've lived a life of that story together and then apart a little bit. But also when you grow up playing basketball or doing sports, what was it like? And how did you get to, to the state finals, so to speak, and being in that first state championship? What was it like?
We're twins, and so we always got to play basketball together from a very young age, and we were really lucky because it wasn't just the two of us. We played with friends from a small town, so from an early age, the friends kind of played together, and on the playground, and then later on in high school, we didn't have an organized team until high school because, Title IX began in 1972. And so our first official playing together was our freshman year. So we got to go to camps and stuff with our friends. And then we got pretty good. And then we got very good and we kept on winning. And then we thought we'd never lose. And you mentioned runners up. That still stings. Anyway, you can add some.
It was all about our team. There are five or six of us. We were always together. It wasn't just basketball. It was, we lived and breathed, and everything we did was together. And I mentioned, way back, we convinced our parents that we would not move to our, they got a new house when we were little kids. And we told them, we're not moving until there's a basketball goal up. So our dad put up a basketball goal, and in our small town, we're all blocks away. So we had a light. Our core team, they would all come, and we would play round the clock at our house. And then in the wintertime, we had a barn. Our dad put a goal in the barn so we could play through the winter. And, we practiced, of course, with the team, but we did all practice and mostly a lot on our own. It's just us getting out there and doing it. So it was just awesome. We had a great time.
And those six people that you see, like right in the center there, those were the kind of the core group of our team. We had six excellent players, and then we had some other folks that liked basketball but weren't into it like the six of us were.
That's great. So you kind of had already formed that team bonding before you even, because when you first started in your freshman and sophomore years, they didn't have a state tournament. And so, but your team, your high school did have a high school team?
Yeah, we had a team and we never lost. We got to play in a county tournament, and we beat everybody pretty badly. 93-7, I think, was one of the scores. And it was just always, there was always a huge margin between us and other teams. And so we just never thought we'd lose.
It never crossed our mind. Miss and I talked about this the other day. We never once considered losing. It just wasn't possible. We didn't think.
Yeah. So we were 48-0 before we lost to Warsaw.
Yeah. Wow, that must have been an incredible run, but what a gift that the IHSA was able to bring the state tournament, so you were able to play everybody in the state. And you look at that first state championship, there were terrific players, and it really was a representation of the best teams in the state meeting for that final goal.
Yeah, it was really awesome going into Butler, and I'm not sure if they still do this, you can tell us, but you know, we had that core group of six players, and we played an afternoon game that we won by with the last second shot. And then we had to play an evening game, and it was pretty much those six players that were playing two games. Do they still do that?
Not for the state final. We have one round. The semi-state is two games to get to the finals. So that Saturday is the only round where they'll have two games. And that's changed over time. I mean, it used to be where you would have for a long time, it was two games to win the state championship on the same day. That changed a little bit once we went to class basketball. I mean, that, you know, you think about, I just looking at how that all transitioned and what the state championship looks like now. We have four games on the Saturday, but they are four different classes of basketball.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So have you been back to Bloomfield recently? What's it like when you go back to your high school, and have you had an opportunity to watch them play at all?
We did go back, was it last spring?
February,
last February. And we got to watch it was the guys playing. And they had everybody knows everybody. Everybody still knows everybody, just like he talked about. You know somebody's family down the line. Anyway, they brought us out on the court at halftime, and the principal, who we used to babysit for, gave us little plaques and things like that. So yeah, it was tons of fun. Well, you know, it's just like Hoosiers, just being back there with everybody. You know, small town still is.
Well, and I'm sure at the state finals, it looked like a terrific crowd. We do have some film footage of it, so I've seen you both play, and it looks like the crowd was there. I'm sure all of Bloomfield was there to watch the game.
We closed the town.
And that was really fantastic. So, you know, when we were freshmen, nobody came to the games because they didn't really know about things. But as we progressed, you know, we did get the whole town, and they were enthusiastic, and there were bonfires, and there were caravans, and, you know, even players and people from other towns or surrounding towns. I mean, they were very supportive and would send, you know, flowers and all kinds of things to support us as we advanced to the Final Four.
Yeah, our competitors.
You mentioned that last second shot that you had to hit to get to the championship game. Who hit it, and describe that? Was there any other games besides that one where you almost lost? Was that the first time you really had been faced with that kind of competition?
So we were never really close until that game. So that was a big deal. Indianapolis Tech, they had more girls that came out for their team than we did in our whole high school. Yeah. They had 400 or so girls that came out for their team. Awesome players. I think we
tons
were
taller than us. I mean,
yeah, bigger, taller, faster, everything. But it was a tie, or were we down one?
I don't remember.
Anyway,
I just remember my pass.
Set the stage. I haven't been able to see that footage. We don't have that. We have state championship final game. We don't have the semi-state. So tell me, how did the play unfold? Your pass, who scored, what happened?
I was out
and I passed it to you in the middle.
Yeah.
And then she hit the shot. And then the crowd goes wild.
Go ahead.
If you ever find that footage, we'd love to see it. We've got the Warsaw game, but we don't have that afternoon game. Yeah. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how. I'm gonna do some recon work to try to see if we can track that down. And if I do, I'll definitely share it, because we had Teresa Wins on just a little bit ago, and she was one of the officials in that game for your game. So we were talking about that, and whether you know, how we could get those semifinal games, and we haven't quite got a hold of those just yet. But the combo between the two of you passing back and forth. And it wasn't just Melissa to Melinda. It was Melinda to Melissa a lot of times, the inside out. You two were ahead of your time in that respect, because you kicked it out oftentimes as people collapsed on you for a better shot.
But we practiced that, like, you know, Miss and I, we were always together. We drew up plays at night in the bedroom. We were supposed to be sleeping. We played around the clock. And when we didn't have the other four or five with us, she and I were playing in the backyard with lights. I mean, that's all we did. Did you want me to scoot over?
Yeah. And the play that you're talking about, too, I was actually, and I remember this, I was actually looking for either Julie or Amy down low. So, you know, my first inclination was to pass and get an easy shot, but there was no time to do that. So it went through the hoop, and that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters. It was an exciting time. And I've talked often with the people that I've been able to interview so far. It was really such an exciting time, because so many people wanted to see, what's this about? Girls basketball. Now they're an IHSAA sport. And you go to Butler Fieldhouse and Hinkle Fieldhouse, excuse me, on Butler's campus, and you sold it. Your team sold it. Warsaw sold it. You know, LaTonya Pollard and East Chicago, everyone sold it. And everyone said, was like, okay, I'm going to go back and watch, because it was fun to watch and it was good basketball that people wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
You must have been pretty excited about that. Were you nervous? What? How did it feel when you walked into the field house? And then how did it feel once you had all the fans there?
I think we were so focused. Yeah. I mean, you walk into the place and you're kind of overwhelmed. We got to go to IU and play in the field house there. We try, you know, play there all any chance we got in the field house, not Assembly Hall, of course. But we got to go there and play in bigger places. But I think we've got a picture of three of us. We were so focused. You know, you could have been any more focused. And that was before the game started. I mean, we went out and looked around and all this stuff, shot around and stuff. But I mean, the just the seriousness and how focused in our eyes we were before those games. We were excited and everything, but we had a mission. We were
on
awesome.
And to have all those fans there, that was just great. Yeah. Not just the Bloomfield fans, but people in
Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
Right.
Southern Indiana.
And really from all over the state, it was well attended and just a fun, exciting time. Well, my question, though, you've got your IU sweatshirts on. You didn't go to Indiana University. You land at, both of you, at West Point. How did that happen?
I don't know. Something went kind of crazy. We were recruited to play basketball at West Point. Okay. And they thought I was a lot taller than I was, but I wasn't. But anyway, we were recruited, and our parents thought it would be an awesome opportunity to attend West Point, you know, military academy, be the second class of females at West Point. And it was just an opportunity that we couldn't turn down. And we didn't know any better. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into, really. But I'm so glad we did it, and so glad we never have to do it again.
Right. But you were part of the very first women's basketball team out there and helped start that program.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that was just an amazing experience. And there's a book that I want to mention called Hoops and Heroes that is sort of about that history and us going through that and future teams. But wanted to make a plug for Hoops and Heroes, too.
That sounds great. I'm glad you did. And especially since this is Veterans Day, and it's so exciting to have the both of you on today. What's it mean to you now that you are both retired veterans, but you've been through that process? Talk a little bit about not just the sport of it, but what it means to be a retired veteran on this day, on Veterans Day.
Well, nothing but respect for veterans. It was an amazing experience. You know, we had a great team at West Point as well. And you know, I talk about my forever friends. My West Point basketball teammates are forever friends, just like my Bloomfield classmates and teammates are too.
And we're in touch with them every day. And we all talk. We talk, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And we're just so thankful for our veterans and the service that all veterans have shown to our country. And you know, go USA.
Yeah, right. Well, I was thrilled to get to talk to you today because that's a special connection that we have as you being the two legends that you are in Indiana high school basketball, but also getting to talk to you on Veterans Day is pretty special.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about what kinds of things would you say, lessons you learned either from high school or college, things that you learned on the court that you took forward in your careers that were very valuable?
One thing is leave it all on the court. I mean, especially in big events and basketball, we certainly had some big events. Don't hold back. Don't hold anything back. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that the loss to Warsaw still hurts. And I feel like we did leave it all on the court. You did. You mentioned one of the referees that spoke with recently. Yeah. And I think for the most part, referees get it exactly right. But I did want to kind of jokingly let your referee friend know that maybe one thing didn't go exactly right. So scoot over just a little bit. Scoot all the way over. So, you know, one thing that we have now that we didn't have is technology. And I've been over this play 100 times, probably more, 1,000 times in my head, but it was 52 all with 1 minute left to go. And you mentioned when you were talking with Judy that her free throws, they really sunk us down the stretch.
Right.
See this photo. I'm trailing. Melinda's there. Connie Ulan's there in a perfect defensive stance.
Yeah.
So when you play this in slow motion, it looks more like a chart.
Disputed 50 years later. I love this. This is awesome.
Exactly.
That's so great. Well, Teresa will be happy to hear because she was not the official on the state finals, but we do know who that is. I won't reveal her name, so that's just in case you might still. But I will say the one thing that I love is that it was so important to you that, 50 years later, it still stings a little bit. To me, that's beautiful. But to do things that really matter, that you really care about, they stay with you. So I appreciate that, even though it might be a little tough for you because you wish it would have called. We call those bang, bang plays, 50-50s. Could have gone your way and it didn't go your way. I guess that's the best way to describe it. So nothing's changed in that respect. Talk about people of influence. Who helped you get to where you were? Any coaches, teachers, you know, those kinds of people that you really were most influential in your lives?
Well, at West Point, our parents, our family, you know, friends, I mean, they had an especially big influence on us because we're all so close. Mm-hmm. But then once we got to West Point, we had Dr. James Peterson, and we call him the father of Army's basketball. Yeah. He had a huge effect on us and our careers and really beyond that, as we left the Army and transitioned into civilian life. And, you know, we still keep up with him and he just had a real big influence for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And certainly our teammates, our friends, our grandmother was a huge influence. She was kind of before her time. She was the one that braided our hair before every game. I've talked about Birch Bayh too, Indiana senator that was so influential with Title IX. You know, it's just those certain people that you didn't know it at the time, but have done great things to kind of turn the course of history.
Yeah, Birch Bayh and his wife Maravella, who was a very critical piece in getting that legislation passed that impacted all of us. Do you recall, like, when you found out that there was your junior year, 1975-76, there was going to be a state tournament? How was that information brought to you? Or do you remember that at all, or is it just something that happened?
I think it happened, but then at practice, we were just, once we talked about it as a team, as a group, you know, we pretty much went wild. Thought, you know, we're going to get this.
Yeah, it got even more focused because, again, our margins were so huge. Yeah. And then, you know, that there's there's more to come and more great teams out there the farther you go. So,
sure. Well, and you lose in that championship game your junior year, then what? How does that translate into what you or what both of you became? I mean, you obviously had great success individually, named to Indiana All-State team, Hoosier basketball All-State team. Melinda, you were a 1,000-point scorer. Melissa, you were able to be on the All-Star team. All of those great accolades came along. But after you lost that championship game, what was the next 365 like for you and your team?
So what really hurt was, you know, you can see those six people, older people. We lost Julie Record. She graduated in 76. So it was kind of down to five people. We stayed very focused. So we continued to do really well until we got to the Final Four. LaTanya Pollard was amazing. So you know, 9 times out of 10, we'll probably lose to LaTanya Pollard and East Chicago Roosevelt. We feel like if we could go back in the Warsaw game, we'd have a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, right. That was the one, huh? You know, that's the, I would like to see how Warsaw beat East Chicago on that semifinal game. Now, when you were at the state finals, did you watch any of that? Like, how did it, or were you just waiting to get ready for your game?
Yeah,
we didn't watch it. No, we were getting ready.
Yeah, that's great. What a fun time. Just all the memories, and it's fun that you have your teammates in your background. That's really special. I think we've talked about trying to bring people back for this state finals coming up in March, and we hope that we can, and maybe some of your teammates can come back, and you'll see there's a lot of elements that are the same. But the one thing that is different, we're going to play in Gainbridge Fieldhouse where the Fever and the Indiana Pacers get to play. And it's such a terrific atmosphere. I'm really excited for the 50th anniversary for that group of people, hopefully, to come back and enjoy it with us.
Well, we're making plans to get back there for it.
I like to hear that. That's great. So I know you still watch basketball, and you probably watch some high school. You also watch some college. You get to watch the WNBA now as well. Just your perceptions on how the game has changed over 50 years, and what do you think? Could you have imagined we are where we are?
I think we can imagine we are kind of where we are, but the game has changed so much, and the WNBA is just awesome. I mean, of course, Caitlin Clark and all the other tremendous players. We're trying to get tickets for some of those games. It's kind of tough right now.
Yeah, if you've got any tickets tickets for the Fever.
I'll keep you in mind.
They are so awesome, though.
But what a terrific problem that we are facing, that not only is it hard to get tickets, but they're also, the value of the ticket is much greater. I mean, all of these things, and the stands are full. And we've got a whole generation of boys and girls watching terrific role models play the game that we love and watch them play it the right way. So that's really exciting. That's
a really neat thing on TV. See all these little kids with all their jerseys on for their favorite players. And, you know, I just think that's going to be so great and so fun for them. And I hope that they, you know, can enjoy it and love it like we do.
Besides watching, once you both graduated, did you stay involved with the game in any way? I know you were very focused on your careers, and those were probably very time demanding, but were you able to stay involved in the game in any way?
Yeah, so I'm the director of Friends of Army Women's Basketball, which is a nonprofit that supports West Point Army women's basketball. And we've been up for reunions and get-togethers there. I mentioned the book that we had commissioned to be written called Hoops and Heroes. So that's part of what we've done.
And we were both stationed overseas in Germany together, and we were about 3 hours apart on the Autobahn. You could drive really, really fast. So we didn't stay together, but we got to get together and play basketball, you know, with ourselves and some of our teammates from West Point were also stationed over there. So we all would get together every chance we got and meet in the gym and play basketball until we couldn't play anymore.
That's
so
great.
We kept up with it that way. But yeah,
that's terrific. And tell me the Hoops and Heroes, the book that you talked about. Can you get that on? Give me a little more plug. How can we purchase that if people who are listening to this would like to take a look at that?
Sure. I'd like to actually make two plugs. One is for Hoops and Heroes. We have a website called hoopsandheroesbook.org. Okay. And again, that's the nonprofit.
Can she see it?
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's going to pick up.
Okay.
So and then
the other book is a very comprehensive book on the history of women's basketball, not just Army, but all women's basketball. Indiana is in it. We're in that book, but it's just a history on women's basketball. That book is coming out in January or February of this coming year. It's called Shattering the Glass. Uh-huh. Shattering the Glass.
Great.
And so good timing on that. Just, you know, right during the tournament, that one's coming out.
Well, do you either of you write or interested in that? You're kind of connected to these books, or you were just part of the history?
We're interested in history, and yeah. We're interested in having books on women's history and history of women's basketball written. So that's the connection.
That's great. Very good. Well, we'll look forward to both of those books, but definitely the one that's coming out in February, right before the state tournament, right before the NCAA tournament. So good timing on that.
Yeah, Nancy Lieberman's endorsed it. Rebecca Lobo, some high profile, high profile people have already endorsed it.
That's awesome. Very good. Well, I have one final question for you. If you could go back and talk to 15, 16, 17 year old Melissa and Melinda Miles, what would you tell them?
Don't quit. Be the best you that you can be every single day. Attitude is everything. Lean on the people that you know you can lean on. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And I'm glad you asked that, because I just wish for these kids now growing up, I just wish and hope the very best for them, and hope that they can experience such a great life that we are so blessed and lucky to have lived and continue to live. So that's what I say. And win.
And win. All the competitors in you is beautiful. Yeah. Well, it's no question that's what's driven the both of you in your lives to how you've approached everything, and that all those lessons that you learned as Bloomfield High School girls basketball players carried you through to, I'm sure, what was very challenging times at West Point and on through the rest of your career. So those of us, we understand, we're lucky to be female athletes that got the opportunity to get ready to do the rest of our lives. And so that's kind of cool that you have that advice for those young people. Agreed. Very nice. Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to get to visit with you today and to talk with you and meet you. And thank you for joining us and sharing your stories, all the stories that we're hearing that have made the fabric up of the 50 years of Indiana high school girls basketball has been fabulous. And we look forward to celebrating you on in March at the state finals, if you guys can join us back on those days. For sure.
Sounds awesome. Thank you again for everything.
Thank you for joining us on the IHSAA Insider. Tune in next time for more conversations with the legends of Indiana High School girls basketball. And remember, this is your IHSAA.